at the Urbana campus to see whether or not numbers might be reduced or savings might be achieved. So there will be fairly specific recommendations in each of these areas. And then the savings of Egypt, we'll talk about 11 different categories that we've looked at, and we'll identify specific dollar savings in each of those areas, and then a sum total as we get to the end. We obviously established some guiding principles, and I think the first one is probably the most important. We're not looking at administration for administration's sake. We're looking at administration to be sure that all the work that's done lines up cheek to jowl with the academic priorities of the university. And that was the major guidepost for us. I won't try to walk you through all of these. The third one, we talk about university size and scale. Again, we talk about our procurement. We are probably still permitting too much activity in a decentralized way. We're going to have to do more through what we're calling a center-led program in procurement. And I think the administration is going to have to insist on more compliance. We'll lose a little flexibility, but we think we're going to be able to create an organizational model that will permit us to deliver effective services. And then the last one at the bottom, we talk about clarifying organizational structures. The word that we've used throughout is delayering. And again, Avijit will talk about one of the models here that we'd like to introduce at all levels of the university, departments, colleges, up the line to try to give us a best blend. But delayering is something we need to do to make sure the university is as nimble as it can be in the future. The recommendations occur in four different categories. I've already mentioned a little bit about the organizational structure. We'll talk about services. Processes are embedded in all these things. How do we take 17 steps in a process and reduce it to 6? And then finally, can we introduce some new concepts that make sure that we don't destroy the good services that are in place at the moment? Again, a little bit redundant here, but as we introduce the administrative side of it, these were the considerations again in terms of looking at the roles of offices or individuals, looking at whether we could consolidate in certain areas. Even with best efforts, there are going to have to be coordinating mechanisms put in place, either between the university administration and the campuses, or for that matter, even across vice chancellor areas at the campus level. And then finally, we've tried to be mindful at every step about administrative costs as we've looked at them. This next slide attempts to call out to the university administration and the board three areas that we think are undernourished, if you will, at the moment. We not only looked at what is, but what should be. And we wanted to highlight three things. The first, the president mentioned already the importance of an advocacy program. And I think the committee feels that we need to be much more sophisticated in our approach to the outside world. We need to be more assertive in our approach to the outside world to find the connections between development, alumni affairs, strategic marketing, and governmental affairs. And there'll be some very specific recommendations about an integrated advocacy program, both at the administrative level and perhaps even board to board. The second one really describes what we see as a burgeoning set of activities. Most of us think about healthcare at the Chicago campus because the hospital and clinics, the academic programs. Urbana has a great deal in similar areas. In fact, one of the four academic pillars at Urbana talks about human health. And when you put together the world's fastest computer in Urbana, the world's largest MRI in Chicago, you look at the kind of research that we're doing in nanotechnology, the miniaturization of medical equipment, bioengineering. The committee believes that the university needs to take a look at capturing more of the power of the university in this area, in dealing with state government, with the city, with the county, with other peers here in the city, in the whole area of managing our health enterprise. And then finally, the need to deal with human capital. 70 or 80% of the budget is spent on people. There are a number of things that the new president will have to deal with and the board will have to take a look at. Probably first among those is the pension system. With pension reform out of the legislature this year, it is very likely that the university is going to have to look at developing and augmenting that pension system with some other program that will allow you to continue to recruit nationally to find the best faculty members. We probably need to take a fresh look at our benefit structure. at our internal programs. And this is another area of importance that the committee wanted to call out. In terms of specific recommendations, and I'm going to talk only now about the executive level, if you will, we think the committee believes it's important to clarify the responsibility of the chancellor, either by way of redefining the role or perhaps by changing the title. We talked, as an example, about putting an appendage on the chancellor's title that would have that person called chancellor and vice president of the university, for a variety of reasons, to clarify the reporting lines, to unify the work that the president and chancellors do as a team. The last item that I mentioned, for example, in terms of the whole healthcare and medical enterprise might well be one of those areas. So we will offer a couple of recommendations, even up to the level of the chancellor, as it relates to the executive management of the university. I'm sure that the board knows that you have an action item on your agenda today that would pull back together the two vice presidents that are shown on the screen, technology and economic development, academic affairs, to reunite what would be largely the academic focus on the one hand with the research focus on the other. I think the committee believes that the work that's been done in economic development is now at a sufficiently mature level that with the placement of incubators, research parks, technology management systems on the inside, that we can put these back together, achieve some cost savings, and we've recommended, in fact, that this now be called an executive vice president to signal the priority of the academic side of the house in terms of the key leadership role, a chief lieutenant, if you will, for the president, with a stronger emphasis on strategic planning. The very work that this committee has done needs to be done every year, and it needs to be led probably by an officer like an executive vice president. The third bullet, we will give recommendations to the chancellors about looking at the number of vice chancellors, at the content of their work, and at whether or not there are strategies to bring together in a more coordinated way the work of the individual vice chancellors so that, as the president just indicated, our structure dealing with student services on the one hand and academics on the other with tuition, that all of those things, administrative activities, student activities, research, and the like are all blended together. And then fourth, we ask the chancellors to identify for us additional positions that they might eliminate over the next 2 years. We've already touched about $1.76 million in reductions at the executive level, and I'm talking about associates, assistants too, whether you're an associate provost or an assistant vice chancellor. And we've identified another $1.3 million that we'll be able to streamline over the next period of time. Let me now ask Avija to step up and talk a little bit about the 11 categories that we've studied, and then I'll do a close for you. Avija.
Thank you, Craig. A major part of our work really involved looking at all the different administrative services that we provide to the campuses, to the academic units and others, and to ask those three questions that Craig mentioned earlier. Can we do it better? Can we do it more efficiently? Is it a better way of organizing these functions? So these are some of the administrative areas we looked at. Our committee will have recommendations about each one of these administrative areas, in some cases very detailed recommendations, in some cases the recommendations will call for sort of continuing the way we are doing things. I'm going to just highlight on two of these, the two major, in terms of expenses, the two major services, which is the information technology and procurement. Those are the two areas I'm going to sort of focus on a little bit. Like most major universities, information technology is a very substantive operation for us. We spend about $250 million annually on personnel, services, software, all kinds of expenses that you might talk about. About one-third of that is really managed centrally by at least at the university level or at the campus level. The rest is spent at the different department levels, academic units, research centers. That's where it's mostly spent. So our IT infrastructure is quite decentralized, and some of it needs to continue to be quite decentralized. But one of the aspects of decentralization is that you quite often might end up with systems which are not as efficient as you could possibly make it. One of the things we want to stress about information technology is that the need for investments in information technology is going to continue. So our effort here is not to just simply say, let's reduce the budget, but let's spend the money in the most effective way as possible. So for example, we will continue to need to make strategic investments in things that support the core academic missions that we do. For example, there'll be need to invest in technology to support online education. We'll need to do that. To need to support electronic medical records. So those are very important aspects which we'll continue to need to make. Similarly, we'll also continue to need to make investments in using technology to improve our business processes, whether it's online payment systems, online travel management systems, things like that. We will continue to have to make that. But at the same time, what we have to do is to sort of see how can we reduce our operating costs by improving the efficiency of the systems that we run. So one of our committees, which actually included Professor Campbell in that, was in that committee, where we looked at ways in which we can also improve our operating efficiencies. And we have identified a number of different ways in which we can be doing. And basically what we're trying to say is that if you look at how we operate, for example, let's take a very simple example. We have many, many distributed small server rooms that serve. Can we consolidate those and offer better service, at the same time reduce the cost of operating them, the space cost, the energy cost that's involved in it? So we've gone through a similar process by looking at the entire system and identified a number of very specific ways in which we can try to impose that. We think we can have significant cost savings this way, which will allow us to continue our investments, but at the same time, realize cost savings. Another major area for us is procurement services. The university, a large university like this, as you might expect, every year spends a lot of money in buying services, buying goods, buying all kinds of things. And many of these are actually very specialized buying things, for example, with research labs and medical. On the other hand, we do buy a lot of materials, which are sort of routine buys, which a lot of different departments actually buy the same kind of product, from paper to printers to all kinds of things. And if we look at those, about $300 million of such recurring kind of expenditures, one of the strategies that many companies and many organizations use is to try to get the best combined strategic contract that you can get the best level of service as well as the lowest cost possible. So what we as an institution need to do is look at all these decentralized purchasing that's going on, different units making their own purchase requisitions and buying, and see how we can facilitate that into a process where we can pool those purchases and make the best possible purchase contracts. So our major recommendation is to adopt this new model, which where, while on the one hand, the individual departments are determining what they need to buy, those are all consolidated through a center-led effort to get the best contracts possible. And to be able to do that, the university actually already initiated a few years back a system which we call iBuy, which is actually a web-based portal which houses all these contracts where individual departments then can access that. We need to make that system really the dominant system for buying recurring kinds of materials. We have seen that many organizations have been able to achieve, say, savings of 5 to 10% by doing that consolidation. So with a $300 million pool, even if we can achieve a 5% savings, that's a significant kind of saving. But this will also require, again, some investments in you putting the technology in place to be able to do that. The same way we have to invest in technology for improving the business processes. when business processes take a long time, that's an inefficient system you can actually save by improving the business.